Thank you, Michael. Appreciate that. Happy Sabbath, everyone, and glad to see you here, and those on Zoom as well, and welcome to our visitors. So I have this nickname at work. They called me the Bulldog, and it's not because I have a pug nose and drool, but my managers would give me projects that they wanted to give them to me when they were difficult and the projects nobody else wanted to do. They gave me, on many of these projects, very few resources, including money, so I had to do them as a BAU, business as usual, and still get the ball over the goal line. And so that's one of the things I think that's kept me gainfully employed for the 44 years I've been with the company that I'm at. But it's something that I think God's blessed me with. He's blessed me with the tenacity and the drive to do things like that. So I bet you think you know what I'm going to talk about today, but I think you're probably wrong. I'm actually going to talk about an equally valuable quality and a trait that we should have as Christians, and that's the quality of letting go. Not holding on to something, but the quality of letting go. You know, we tend to be creatures of habit, don't we? We have our ruts, we have our habits, we have the sometimes bad habits, and it's hard to make those changes at times. It's hard to let go. We hold on to grudges, don't we? We hold on to those bad habits, and it's just hard to let go. You know, most of us have experienced moving, right? We all put things in boxes, and we see these. I know I see Kelly Mango smiling, so just as the Mangos have been through that. But when you go through moving, you're taking all your worldly possessions, and you're putting them in boxes and things, and you start sorting through those things, and you're like, do I really need this in life? Do I need that with me? Yeah, I think I'm going to put that in the box, and I go behind Lisa, and I take it out. And no, actually, it's actually the opposite way around. Lisa has an easier time letting things go than I do, and she does actually a yearly purge. But I think you all know what I'm talking about, how we do that, and maybe you clean your house for the spring holy days, and the same thing. There's things that you have in your life, and it's just a lot harder to let some of those things go. Are we hanging on to things that we don't need or things that are bad for us as God's people? Now, as I was preparing for this message, I was thinking of at least four resources that God gives us, that he provides for us, and that we're to be good stewards of when I was thinking on these things of letting go. So we have these resources that God gives us. So the first thing that I'd like to talk about is time. We all have time in our life, don't we? Some of our time is going to be shorter than others. That window God gives us as we get older, obviously, is just going to get shorter and shorter. And some people's time, that window shuts off quicker than others. And we never know when that is. But we are given time. We're given minutes, seconds, hours, days, years. But it's a gift. God's given us the gift of time. And it's something very precious that we need to think about. The second, I think, that we need to be aware of is the energy that God gives us. God gives us an amount of energy. He gives us the energy to do things, to work with our minds and our hands, and to do those things that he wants us to do. He gives us creative thoughts. So it doesn't always have to be woodwork. It could be the thoughts that we have, and then maybe put that down on paper or on a canvas or something. And also, he gives us energy through the power of his Holy Spirit that works through us as his people. And that's another blessing that we truly have. And then the third resource I was thinking of is the material objects that God gives us. God gives us these material objects that we own. He gives us we're blessed with our homes, our cars, our whatever we have. But those are all a blessing from God. They're the material objects. And then the last is the people that God puts in our lives, however good or bad that might be. So God gives us our family, our church family, our friends, our neighbors, and sometimes God even gives us our enemies. How do any of us know when to hold on to something or to let it go? Are there things in our relationships and that we own that maybe perhaps we don't need to hold on to anymore? You know, there's a number of ways that we can to make the choice of what we need to do to let go. You know, even though you may be letting something go, that does not necessarily mean that you're losing something. Sometimes letting go means that you're gaining something in life. For instance, I used to like donuts, okay? So they would bring them into work every day. They would bring in the donuts, and I would eat two or three, and of course Mark was getting bigger and bigger and everything. So by letting those go, I received benefits from that, better health. I didn't have to be on a sugar high. I started losing weight again. And so it has those benefits. And the same thing can be in our spiritual life as well with sin. Obviously, letting go of sin is going to be a benefit to us. We all have a relationship with God. And what puts that relationship at risk? It's when we sin. We've said we don't want to do it your way, God. We want to do it our way. And that relationship starts to grow apart, and we start to lose something. It was sadly enough, mankind began to let go in the Garden of Eden, yet God is still seeking after you and me. What a wonderful God that we have. After the things we do sometimes, he still seeks after us. And the Bible has the answers for us. It really does. If we're questioning whether to let go of something, I think that's one of the places we need to turn to, obviously, is God's Word. And the Bible has an answer. It's the prime source of everything that we can do good and well in life. And there's other sources that we can use to help, and it's not wrong to seek after other sources, but the Bible should be, this book has our real answers. Mankind has some answers that can embellish some of the things that God has given us and kind of help us along, and there's nothing wrong with that. And there's really some really good sources out there when we have those questions. But that is always our first go-to, is the Bible. For the first scripture today, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy 3, 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, and for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. It has everything we need. We need to be spiritual survivors. You know, life isn't always spelled out in black and white. There are gray areas where we might not have the immediate answer to the situation. It might be about a situation or a relationship. So for that, you know, God's given us help, again, in his book through the instruction manual. So let's turn to Proverbs 12, 15. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. So God tells us if we can't find the answer in his word, to seek counsel. We need to go seek counsel. Maybe we don't see it right away, but it's a wise thing to seek counsel. Next, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. Chapter 11, 14. Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So God tells us that we are wise by seeking counsel, and we can be safe. You know, we can discern. God gives us a discerning spirit. His Holy Spirit is a discerning spirit, and we should be asking for discernment and wisdom when we go to God. There's no need to turn to this now, but in 1 Kings chapter 3, you know, God was pleased with Solomon. Solomon did not ask for the riches of the world, the wealth, the good looks, the selfish gain. He asked God for wisdom. And God gave him that, and he gave him everything else. Unfortunately for him, God gave him 1,000 wives and concubines, which seemed to be his downfall. But still, he was given everything besides the wisdom. God gave him even more than what he asked for. We need to turn to God, and he will give us those things that we ask for. He'll give us the answers, what we need to hold on to and what we should be letting go. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. We've been given that gift to know the Spirit of God, what God is revealing through His Spirit. Every one of us can know these things and discern these things through the Spirit. Now we've received not the spirit of this world, because there is a worldly wisdom. There is a wisdom in the world, and it's not all that bad, but it only reaches a certain level. God's level of wisdom just far outweighs anything man could ever think in their own mind. I mean, to always think, I just always think back, I mean, God's experience is exponential because there was no beginning and there is no end. His knowledge and experience is infinite. To continue on, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And it has been freely given to us. Jesus Christ paid that price. You know, God has given us a spirit where we can navigate through the difficulties of life. And we know that sometimes there is those seemingly unknowing situations that we walk into, those gray areas. You know, it's wisdom from above that God will give us that's infinite. You know, God has shared it with us and in His Word and by His Holy Spirit. We should also be taking in life's experiences and building on those. God gave us this life to experience different things. And we need to be learning from these, and we shouldn't be repeating the same mistakes over and over and over and over again. That's not learning. We need to make those mistakes fewer and fewer and fewer times. We need to close that gap and draw closer to God. Ask ourselves, is what I'm doing godly? Is the relationship I'm embarking on a godly relationship, or is it just originating from my own desires? If we have a hobby, is it something that we can share with others? Is it something that benefits other people other than ourselves? Or is it self-absorbing? Does it increase our skills? And does it build us up? Those are some questions we can ask ourselves, and I think those are some of the gray areas that sometimes people may consternate with. If it is something that's sinful or can lead to sin, we need to let it go. We need to let it go. You know, God does give us guidance in the area of what we let go in our lives throughout His Word. There's many examples of that. Next, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 11. I think Paul gives us some basics here, but I think it's something we really need to think about. 1 Corinthians 13, 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child and understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know, there's a time to put away the childish things and to put on your adult tool belt. Put away the toys and put on the tools. It's time for maturity. You know, Paul was a man ahead of his time, because as I look at the world today, I just see a lot of immaturity today. And I'm not just talking about young people. I'm talking about older folks as well. Older than me. You know, and I see that lack of maturity in the world. You know, there's no self-restraint. There's no discipline. You know, people are reacting on emotions rather than on logic. And there's nothing wrong with logic. God gave us logic for a reason. I mean, we do have human logic, but when it's with God's Holy Spirit, when the two are put together, it can be very powerful. You know, God's Word is the basis. That is the base of real logic. And one of the biggest complaints about young women have for young men, and I know I've mentioned this before, is that they play a lot of video games. They're on their electronics all the time. But now the tables are kind of turning, because the young guys are saying now the women are on social media too much. So I think it's kind of taking away that interaction that we all need as human beings. I think there's time for young folks to move out of their parents' house, and I think there's a time to get a job and stop playing the games, and I believe that's before age 50. I'm just guessing, but but you know, how do we, as God's people, know when to move on from these things in our lives? You know, every situation is different, but I think we can take some general guidelines that'll help us. And what I've personally done in these instances, if I don't know what to do right away, is I take it to God in prayer first. That is my first reaction. And I think if we always do that and make that our, it should become our gut reaction as a Christian. The first thing is drop to your knees. If you have a question or you have a need or you have something, talk to God first. Talk to him first. Then not necessarily in this order. I mean, it all depends upon the situation you're in. But read your Bible. Meditate on it. And fast. Maybe fasting might come first. Maybe you need a degree of humility before you to go to him with a problem. I don't know what it might be. But use the tools God's given us. And those are basics, but they work. They work. You know, God gives us parables and examples and of the challenges that others who've gone before us have had in his word. You know, we've been equipped with that logic and if baptized the Spirit to discern. You know, he's given us some wonderful and beautiful parallels and answers in nature as well. So we don't even, it's not always in his word, it's in his creation as well. We can look to his creation. I'm going to give an example today. Let's look at the trees. You know, there's the deciduous and there's the coniferous. So deciduous are the leaf bearing, and coniferous are the cone bearing trees. But I want to talk about the relationship between the trees and their leaves today. You know, God designed the leaf for the tree. The leaves take in the sunlight. By taking in the sunlight, it converts it into energy and keeps the tree alive. That tree cannot live. The deciduous tree cannot live without those leaves. It would die without the leaves, except for a short period of time, during the winter when it drops them. But what happens is the tree drops the leaves, and we always think that it drops them, but it actually forces those leaves out. It forces them off of it, because if it didn't, it would die. The leaves would take too much energy during those winter months, and it would kill the tree. It would kill that tree. You know, the autumn comes after the spring, and then the summer, and the beautiful cycle of sharing and providing starts all over again. So the leaves give back to the tree, and the tree is energized, and then it goes through this cycle again. You know, the tree needs to conserve the energy instead of giving it all to that leaf. It would be a self-destructive thing if that tree retained those leaves. And I think we could take a lesson from that in life too. There are self-destructive things that we keep in our lives that we need to get rid of, and it's not always permanent. It can be for a time. Remember, this is a season for the trees, and it could be people as well in our lives. It might not just be things, but it could be things that are not good for us, but it could be people as well. And it's hard to discern those things. You know, there are seasons in our lives where we can generously give to someone or to an effort. And we can give and give and give and give. And that can be a good thing. And we should especially be doing that for our spouses or our children, our commitments to God and to his church and to his people. And there are times to do it for ourselves too. Sometimes we need to give to ourselves to keep us energized. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Ecclesiastes 3, 1. To everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Then let's drop down to verse number 6. A time to gain, time to keep the leaves. A time to lose the leaves. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. You know, letting go is biblical. It's very biblical. You know, in light of what Solomon said, it doesn't mean that once you do get rid of something that you have to push it out forever. Like I said, there are seasons in our lives. You know, letting go is hard and it can be difficult, but using God's Holy Spirit, wise counsel, and staying close to him will help us to make better and wiser decisions. You know, there's a proper time and a season in life for everything. And as they say, timing is everything. And I think Solomon kind of summed that up, especially for the people of God. Now let's take a look at the biblical account of Lot. You know, Lot had a hard time leaving the city of Sodom, so much so that the angels of God had to take him and his family by the hand and almost drag him out of the city. He seemed to have some excuses. He didn't want to go to the mountains. He wanted to stay at another city, but Lot and his family had a hard time letting go. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 19, starting in verse 15, and we'll read through verse 26. Genesis 19, 15. When the morning dawned, and angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters. So he had to literally drag him out of the city, take him by the hand, and the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside, and he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." And here goes Lot again. A little resistance here. Didn't want to let go. Lot said to them, "Please know, my lords, indeed now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life, but I cannot escape to the mountains lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one, or my soul shall live? And my soul shall live." And he said to him, "See, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow the city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and then and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. So I think everybody knows that story. Lot's wife was an example of not letting go. She wasn't a pillar in the community. She was holding on to something she needed to let go. She desired the life of Sodom. So I have a kind of a poignant question for everyone today. Will we desire the life in America? We need to look forward, not back. Lot's wife became a useless pillar of salt, and she wasn't of any use for her family anymore unless Lot was going to start deer hunting season or something. Are we holding on to something that'll keep us back? I mean, I think it's something that we should be thinking about as things get more dire in the world. We could see things starting to happen. Things could go on for a lot longer. I mean, I've seen things and heard things throughout my whole life. I never thought I'd get married. I've been married 40 years this year. But things aren't looking real good in America today. The morality is certainly deteriorating very fast before our eyes. What do we need to let go of that's keeping us back? I hope it doesn't keep us from the kingdom of God, and we need to ask that question. I think it's a healthy question to ask. When we look back at the good life, and make no mistake about it, we are still experiencing the good life in this country. We're experiencing inflation, but we're not experiencing starvation, are we? You know, the Israelites kind of summed it up. They are like the epitome of human nature, and things that I'm sure goes through all of our minds. The riches, the leeks, the garlic, the meat in the pots. You know, yet they forgot about the slavery, the sin that they left. Will we be any better? Will we let go? You know, if we live long enough, we might see some things. We might have to make choices. You know, it can be difficult for any of us to let go of something or even someone from our lives, especially when it's something you really enjoy or someone who you really love. It can be hard to let go of a house that we made into a home or other things that we've enjoyed. You know, we have to take into account, you know, that time can change all things. I was saying seasons. As things change and people change, we need to discern those seasons that we need in our life. And it can be hard to make some of those decisions, especially when it comes to people. I think that's probably the hardest decision to make in our lives. You know, I look back on Lot and his family, you know, and these were real people, just like you and me, that had to leave their home. They had to flee. They had to leave everything behind. The daughters had to leave their future husbands. How hard was it for them to go? They had to go. But they had to go. They did go with a little bit of nudging and hand-holding, but they did go. They had to let go of Sodom. You know, we need to keep in mind that even though we have things like that, and I think this is what will keep us healthy, is what about the spiritual things we've invested in? That's what we need to keep in mind. How much work did we put into the spiritual things? And if we're not putting much work in it, I don't know if we could leave the physical things behind. We all have a hard time letting go of bad habits, letting go of material things, bad relationships, toxic thoughts, even letting go of our past. Our past could be a hard thing to let go of, but we need to do that. We need to be forward-looking people and have that vision that God's given us. You know, all these things impede the growth that God wants us to have, and not letting go can use up the resources that God has given you that he wanted you to take and use on something else. So if we're not letting this thing go over here, and God wants you over here, and you're using all your resources over here, your time, your energy, and he wants you here, you're wasting the resources that God's giving you. I mean, he is unlimited with resources, but he does want us to use what he's giving us wisely. We don't want our things to be competing with God, with what he wants us to do. You know, we can lose ground by spending our time on those things, and they're for our own futile efforts. You know, it's good to evaluate our lives and align ourselves with what God wants for us, especially as we head toward the spring holy days. You know, we need to take a spiritual inventory. We need to take a spiritual inventory of letting go. Letting go is getting rid of that sin. It's getting the leaven out of our house. But we're also putting something in. When we take that leaven out, that sin out, we're putting more of God in us is what that unleavened bread is representative of. We can't separate the physical and spiritual as God's people. You can say physical and spiritual, but everything we do is really on a spiritual realm once you receive God's Holy Spirit. There is no compartmentalizing. You can't take this part of your life and say, this is just this thing over here, this sport I play, or this hobby I have over here, or this is my job, and well, here's church, and here's me helping out at church. It's all one thing when we're called by God. Everything we do, every action we do in this physical life has to align with what God wants us to do. Our habits, our relationships, our jobs, everything that we do. As God's people, our motive is not for return. I talked about the tree. There's a reciprocity with the tree and the leaves. They help each other. They help each other out. And in life, we do need to look for things that give us that spiritual reciprocity. We need to have our relationships and those things doing that reciprocal thing so that it is building us up. if we don't look for that and it comes as a detriment, that's not good. And I'm not talking about being a taker, because reciprocity is sometimes being a giver and giving more. Right? The Christian does take the hit in many, many instances. You don't take it till you fall down and die and you're no good to your family anymore, but you take the hits. You keep taking the hits. You can take it on the chin. And God's Spirit will help us do that. God gives us a return, and that's just a principle that he gives us. As we give, we'll get back in return. Ecclesiastes 11:1 says, and we won't turn there, it talks about casting our bread upon the water, and we will get it back after many days. It's a principle that we all need to learn. We need to learn that giving attitude, and God does give back. When you give, he will give back to you exponentially. And it's not always physical things. His rewards and the payback are his generosity in motion. And if we sow good things, it'll be a good reward. If it's bad things, then it'll probably be a bad reward or penalty. You know, if we exercise, the results are more energy, our healthier feeling and looking better. Uplifting relationships with people here at church is a reciprocity. We have this relationship. We have this friendship. We build each other up. We encourage each other. We do things as we need things. That's reciprocal, and it's a law that God has built in there. When we give, we get something in return, and he does that, and he wants us to experience that as well. You know, we need to have the wisdom in our lives to realize we can't hold on to the things that we're supposed to get rid of. Just like the survival of the tree depends upon getting rid of the leaves, we need to get rid of those spiritual drains in our life, those things that are sapping us, sapping the energy out of us, the things that can kill our spiritual progress. You know, the leaves serve their purpose. They fed the tree for a while. The tree pushed them off, and they were removed. And then there was another thing that happened with that, too, and that cycle of reciprocity, is the leaves went and they fell on the ground and they gave back to the tree. As they deteriorated, they actually fed the tree again. So that cycle that God made, that gave them the nutrients that they needed. So that separation gave the tree strength, and then the leaves gave them back the strength in the end. You know, we need to drop our leaves, brethren, and not if you're Adam and Eve. But in closing, letting go of things can be what makes room for the wonderful things of God and the wonderful experiences that he has for us. As we draw closer to the spring holy days, let's commit ourselves to letting go of those things and making the room that God wants for you to have in your life, by examining our lives and letting go of the things that are keeping us back from those good things. Have an excellent Sabbath.